This is the word of the Lord found in Acts chapter 14, starting with verse 1. Acts 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Paul and Barnabas were on a journey. And sometimes if you get a chance and you have a set of maps at the back of your Bible, look at it. Typically, the last one that's shown will be titled something like this, Paul's Missionary Journeys. And as you know, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ started at Jerusalem. And for a long time, Barnabas was very active in that particular church, the original church. And Paul himself even spent a little time there. They were worried about him. He had done so much persecution in Jerusalem prior to meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had spent a little time there. But in order to enhance his own safety, as well as for the peace of the church, the disciples besought him to go back to his hometown, Tarsus. And if you ever look at Tarsus, right there where Syria meets Turkey, it's just around the corner, kind of on the southern part of Turkey, southeastern part of Turkey. And that's where Paul grew up, even though he had his career as a Jewish teacher in Jerusalem and had gone through, and after meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus, had gone back to Jerusalem for a little while. He was now back in his hometown, Tarsus. And Barnabas was sent by the Church of Jerusalem to investigate how the gospel was going in the new church group of disciples that had risen up in the town of Antioch. Now, this Antioch is the Antioch just around the corner from Tarsus. It's more in Syria than it is in Turkey. But Barnabas had gone up there to see it and saw that it was just a great blessing. It was such a powerful group of disciples that it was there that the disciples were first called Christians. And he went and got Saul, which was Paul, in Tarsus, not too far away, and brought him to Antioch to see how things were going. And it was just a great work going on there in praise to the name of Jesus Christ. And the gospel was having great effect and blessing people's lives there. And so there they were, and you can almost say that, I don't know if they formally took care of things this way, but Paul and Barnabas were pretty much had moved their letters to Antioch. That's where they worshiped. And there were other preachers, prophets, and teachers there at Antioch with them, a few more. And as they were praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to these men and said, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I send them." And they went out. So if you look at your map, if you've got Paul's missionary journeys, what you're going to find is that Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 14 describe the whole first journey. And in those two chapters, they go to several places. The first, they go to Cyprus. So they start out their travel by ship and sail to Cyprus. And after they're preaching the gospel and having many that are converted to the truth of the gospel, they sail from Cyprus to the southern part of Turkey, pretty far west of where Paul was from, and they set ashore and they went right into the center of Turkey to a city also named Antioch, but it wasn't the one they'd come from. This was Antioch at Pisidia. And they preached there and had great effect. And that's what most of Acts 13 is about. You get the sermon that Paul actually preached at Antioch at Pisidia. And so almost all the, well, it says among the Gentiles, all that were ordained to eternal life believed. So it was a great conversion that took place there. And then they were persecuted, and they left Antioch at Pisidia and came to Iconium. Iconium and these towns that are described here, Lystra and Derbe, are getting back close to where Paul's from. They're about 100 miles from his hometown in Tarsus. And after that, they go back and forth between those cities and go back to the seacoast and sail back to Antioch. That's Acts 13 and 14. And on your map, it'll be probably a little dotted line showing this trip. But you can see they covered several hundred miles in Syria, Cyprus, and Turkey. And it'll show you where they went. But you don't even have to have that. You can read these. It's just I'm not familiar with these towns without seeing them on a map. That's the way my mind works. But it says, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And this was typically how they came to a new town. They went there, they attended the synagogue worship. One of the practices of the synagogue worship is, if there are any other brothers here, especially Jewish brothers, and you got something to say to encourage people or to teach them, speak on. Well, Paul and Barnabas weren't shy about that. They were going to say, let us tell you about the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. And that is the scriptures, is that the Messiah has come. His name is Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. He lived a perfect life. He kept the law to a jot and the tittle. When his hour was come, he was taken of wicked hands and crucified as the sacrifice known as the Lamb of God to pay for our sins in a way that the shedding of blood of bulls and goats could never do. And having paid for our sins, he was taken down from the cross and laid in the grave. But God so approved of his sacrifice that he raised him up on the third day. And we saw him. We knew him after he rose from the dead. And he bid us go and bear witness of what he had done. And you know, the people are hearing this. And some, maybe the Jews, are connecting this up with Old Testament scriptures that are mentioned. And some of the Gentiles, maybe having a little Bible background, if they've been going to the synagogue, they may be connecting it. But what's happening is the Holy Ghost is working on such a way that when the children of God hear this truth about the payment of their sins, something in their heart says, that sounds nearly too good to be true, but it's so good it has to be true. Man wouldn't think of this. This is God. Amen. And so their lives are changed by the truth spoken in love that they're hearing. And many believe. Well, not all of them believe, though. It says, long time therefore, it says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Some didn't want to believe. Some, it just didn't strike them right. They may not have been born again, or they may have had their minds so corrupted by sin that their ears were stopped. We don't know what the situation was, but they started talking bad about this new message and about Paul and Barnabas, and they evil affected the minds of the brethren. And so they stayed there a long time, but it divided the city of Iconium. Part held with the Jews that were opposed to the gospel, and part were rejoicing in the gospel. So it divided the city. And instead of having a scriptural debate about it, the ones that were against the gospel actually raised up an attempt to assault the apostles, both Jews and Gentiles that stood against the gospel. They attacked those that were teaching it and those that held to the gospel. Does that sound familiar? Here they were encountering this persecution, and it said somehow or other they found out about it. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. So when they heard there's going to be violence, there's going to be attack, and they knew of it. In some occasions, you're going to find the Christians in this early church standing and facing the consequences. And in some times, you're going to find that the Spirit leads them to flee and go on to another city and face the consequences. And that's what Paul and Barnabas did in this time. And when they got to the next city, Lystra and then Derbe, they still continued to preach the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that means for the child of God. Verse 8, they're in the town of Lystra. Verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So they're here in the city of Lystra, here in southeastern Turkey, and they're preaching the gospel, and they have a number of people that are gathered to hear what these men will say. And as they're preaching, Paul spots this man who has not been able to walk since the day he was born, never has walked. So no doubt a lot of people know, here's a man that's been crippled since he was a little infant. Never learned to walk. His parents watched, hoping one day he'd take his first step. Never was able to. And as Paul is preaching, he looks at this man and all of a sudden sees, I don't know how you discern this, but the Holy Spirit had to be in it. He could see that this man had faith to be healed. And so he gave him the commandment to be healed. He just said, stand upright on thy feet. And this man stands up, finds that all of a sudden he's got strength to do something he's never done before. And after he stands up, he leaps. And after he does that, he walks around a little bit. Well, everybody is shocked at this. The power of God, not only in the truth of the message, but in a very physical, tangible way, has been manifested. And when they do that, the people are looking and marvel at this, and they said, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Now that shows you how much people understand the gospel at first glance sometimes. Here Paul's been preaching, there's one God, he's holy, he's righteous, we're sinners before him, and he sent his only begotten son in order to be the sacrifice for our sins. But right now, they just see this marvelous thing. They know God's involved, but instead of hearing the message, they attribute the power to the men, to Paul and Barnabas. And they say the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And since Barnabas has been kind of quiet and everything, they think, well, he's the chief because he's not doing most of the speaking. Well, that tells you something, doesn't it? One that is doing the least amount of speaking is regarded to be the chief. And they call him Jupiter or Zeus. And then they call Paul Mercury or Hermes in the Greek because he's the chief speaker. And they start bringing out ox to do sacrifice. And it takes Paul and Barnabas a while to understand what's going on, that they intend to sacrifice unto them as gods. And they run in and say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? We're just human beings. We're men just like unto you. And God is one true and living God. And he's made everything there is, but he has only revealed those things about himself and what he's like and how he's to be served in his Old Testament scriptures. And he suffered the other nations of the earth to go their own ways, but he was still merciful to them. He sent his rain. He gave them fruitful seasons. He gave them food. He gave them gladness of heart. But they've been in darkness. And the truth of the matter, there's one true and living God, and his Son is the sacrifice for your sins. And the Bible says with all of this, running in saying, we're just men. We're just sinners like yourself. We need the blood of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, just as you do. They were scarce able to restrain the people. So they stopped them and said, save this ox, you know, don't sacrifice to us. Verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So how fast the minds of people can change. Folks that were against the gospel from Antioch, and I think this is the Antioch at Pisidia, not the one where their home church was in Syria. And then Iconium, where they'd just been. After all the attacks they made, Paul and Barnabas had left. Well, they had followed Paul and Barnabas here to Lystra. And when they got there, they started trying to persuade the people. And Paul had told them, you know, we're not gods, we're just men, we're sinners. Well, then all of a sudden the pendulum swings all the way to the other side, and they listen to the false claims and accusations and opposition of folks from these other towns and decide, well, he really is a bad guy. And they drag him out of the city of Lystra and stone him until they think they finished the job, till they think he's dead. Now, it seems to me that Paul, having been instrumental in performing a miracle on this man that was crippled, is now the recipient of a miracle, because he's laying there and the people that were stoning him have left. They think he's dead. We'll just leave his body out here to the carrion birds and the different wild beasts. And the disciples gather around what they think is his body. And as those believers in the Lord Jesus Christ gather around, Paul sits up and then comes right back into the city where he was stoned, and then the next day goes over to the city of Derbe, and it says what he did there. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, that's where he was stoned, and to Iconium and Antioch. He went right back to these cities, not only one where he was stoned, but where they had coordinated an attack against them. He goes right back to those cities. Why? He's got something specific in mind, and verse 22 tells us what it is. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. All right, here's something. Of course, they're following the leadership of God's Spirit. But here's something Paul and Barnabas consider so important that they're willing to go back to these cities where they've been not only criticized, but scheduled to be attacked, where they've been opposed and in some cases assaulted. They go back to confirm the souls of the disciples. You know what confirm means? It means to bear witness to truth. It means to strengthen a testimony. For example, say you're driving and you stop at a stoplight and somebody behind you plows into your bumper. And so you've got this accident here. You're waiting for the police to show, and somebody in the other lane pulls over and they stick around as a witness. And the policeman comes up and says, all right, what happened? And you say, well, I came to this stoplight and it was red and I stopped at it and they didn't stop. And they just ran on into me. And the other person says, no, that's not the way it happened. That light was green. This person hit their brakes for no good reason, And we were preparing to go through it, and I couldn't stop in time. Well, there, it's just been a flat contradiction of your account. And the witness comes over and says, the policeman said, did you see that? And the witness says, yes, I was in the other lane at the same light. Well, what happened? Well, it's just like the person that spoke to you first in front said. It was a red light, and we were sitting at it. This other person came up and just ran into his bumper while he was sitting still at the red light. What did that witness just do for you? He confirmed your testimony. Well, here it says that Paul and Barnabas went back to these towns confirming the souls of the disciples. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with somebody going to heaven. This is what that means. As those people had heard the preaching of the gospel and believed it. That's why they were disciples. And they had heard this wonderful truth that because of the coming of the Messiah, promised for centuries in the Jewish scriptures, he had come not only to give a kingdom for the blessing of the Jews and the Israelites, but he had come to preach the kingdom of God. And not only that, but he lived a perfect life and then laid down that perfect life in order to bring them out of death into life. And the very fact that they loved was an evidence that they were born again as a result of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And now heaven was their home. God was their Father. These people that are believers are your brothers and your sisters. The gathering is the house of God made out of living stones. And that you have God's righteousness given to you because Jesus Christ was made to be sin for you, and he paid the whole price. And what a wonderful thing they had heard. But you know how life is. You rejoice over that truth, and you go on a few days and you encounter a hard time at work. Some of these people may have had difficult jobs. Some of them may have been slaves and been treated as less than human by their masters. Some of them may have had problems in their marriage. Some of them probably had financial or health difficulties. You know how it is to live here in this world, and it's easy when you're starting to go through it to think, was that really too good to be true? Is it true God loves me? Is it true that there is such a God, one true and living God, who's holy, righteous, and loving, and calls himself my Father? Is this real? If it is, why am I suffering like this? And so they were disciples, and they were following here this truth of Jesus Christ, but you know the doubts that arise in the soul of the child of God. And so here comes Paul and Barnabas back. I don't know if Paul was still covered with bruises. I don't know what the situation was, but he came back with Barnabas, and they were declaring and confirming the souls of the disciples. Let us tell you a little bit more about it. You know where Jesus Christ, the Savior that died for you, he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is that the manner of your life? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Well, that's a sign that you're already blessed. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you mourn over your sins? I bet you do. You know, that tells that there's one that is against you and opposes you in this world. That's an evidence. You may feel like you don't do the things you know are right, and many times you do the things that are wrong, and you delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul could say, that's the same way it is with me. I want you to know that you're born again. I want you to know that you're heaven bound. I want you to know that when Jesus Christ was hanging in the darkness on the cross as the Lamb of God, he was paying for your sins. And these are evidences that your soul has been bought by the living God, who will never, never suffer you to be finally separated from him and his love. And you know, there again, those people with all their doubts, they said, yeah, it is so. It's true. It's not because Paul could use fancy words or the wisdom of men, but he just declared the truth of the cross, and the Holy Spirit within them witnessed an amen. It was confirmed that what they were hearing from this man's mouth by the Holy Spirit was what they knew was truly so in their heart. We confirmed the souls of the disciples. and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Exhorting means to encourage. Keep on. Hang on. Keep meeting. Keep studying. Keep loving one another. Keep forgiving one another. And you know, this has to be done because not only is our flesh weak, but the world is so dark and opposes that which the Lord would have us to do. That's why we have to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. That's what Paul is doing. That's what Barnabas is doing, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Remember what Barnabas had preached when he first came to Antioch? That with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. That kind of message was needed back in the first century church. When miracles took place, that kind of message is still needed today. Keep on attending the meetings. Keep on studying this word. Keep on praying for one another. Pray for yourself. Forgive one another. Reach out. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So they came back and they said, continue in the faith. And that we, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You want to enter into the kingdom of God? Humble yourself and become as a little child. And repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. And oh, by the way, here's something else that's true. We through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That is, the kingdom of God is precious. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But the kingdom of God is in opposition to the kingdoms of this world. The rulers of wickedness in high places, they oppose that. And as the Lord Jesus Christ said to his own disciples, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Can you see, Paul? I don't know if he still had bruises all over his body. He might have been a ragged mess. I don't know. I expect he had cleaned up and put on better clothes and things like that. I don't know what it must have been to look at him. And Barnabas there, weighed down with all his cares and how he had given so much and encouraged the churches and things like that. And you see these men standing up there, and they're probably risking their lives being back here. They've already been subject to attack. Paul's been stoned. And they just want you to know, yes, this joy that you felt in your soul is not fake. It's real. I want to confirm that. And yes, you're going to have to earnestly continue in this faith, this truth that's been revealed to you. And yes, it's a sad message, but it's the truth, and we don't want to sugarcoat it. Through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. This world does not like light. This world does not like truth. There's a reason Satan is called the prince of this world. Not only will you face doubt and temptation, you'll face sometimes direct opposition. And Paul and Barnabas were letting the folks in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe know that this, and Antioch at Pisidia, they were letting them know that this was the truth and that it was not easy, but that it was rich and righteous and good. So they preached that, and listen to verse 23. "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." So they were saying, "Now, we want to organize the church here. We've noticed some brethren here that have a gift for teaching Scripture. We've noticed some brethren here that are good men. And will continue to teach this truth and can provide leadership in the matter of the word." So we're setting up officers here in the church. And so you confirmed, you know there's a struggle. Here's some men that will be good leaders. You continue in the faith, and we commend you to the Lord. You believe in Jesus Christ. God has bidden us to continue our journey. You stay here as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and continue serving him. It says in verse 24, "And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Attalia. That was a port city in south Turkey. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So if you go read Acts 13 and 14, you'll find they started out at Antioch in Syria. And they took a ship and they went to Cyprus and preached, and God blessed the preaching. And then they took a ship and they went from Cyprus to this southern Turkey and continued inland to another Antioch, Antioch at Pisidia. And there in Acts 13, you have the account of the sermon that Paul preached there. And then from Antioch at Pisidia, they went southeast toward Iconium, and then from Iconium to Derbe and Lystra. And in Lystra, Paul was stoned. And after he was stoned, he rose up and he went right back to these cities where he had encountered his stoning and the opposition. He went right back to Lystra and to Derbe and to Iconium and to Antioch at Pisidia. And they did this. They confirmed the souls of the disciples. They exhorted them to continue in the faith. They told them that through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom of God. And then they organized them and ordained their elders, established churches, commended them unto the Lord, and they went on back to the coast where they had landed and caught a ship and went back to the other Antioch, Antioch in Syria, which was their pretty much their home church. When they got there, they say, "Let us tell you what God has done with us." And they began to tell the story that we've just read in these two chapters. And when they did, it was time for them to just stay at home a while. And it says, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Now, I'm glad that at least here in our part of the world, we haven't seen stonings, but we have read of shootings getting in this country. And we read about brothers and sisters that believe in the name of Jesus Christ being persecuted terribly in other countries. I want you to be aware of the same thing, that not only is there persecution and that we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, but I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. Realize that there is an opposition between the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the prince of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places in this world will tell you is so. And I want your souls to be confirmed. I want you to know that despite problems you might have of health, finances, relationships, discouragement, what gets into your heart, what gets into your mind sometimes, that if you know that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of the living God, the reason that you know that is because God dwells in you and you dwell in God. And that means by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins have been paid for. Let your souls be confirmed in this truth. By grace, you belong to the Savior, our Lord Jesus. May God bless you.